Hey guys, thanks for downloading the episode. Before we get into this fantastic episode with Nolan North that I've been waiting for 2 years to be able to do, it's a lot of fun. I think you'll enjoy it. He had a hard out, so I didn't get a chance to do my usual plugs. So I'm going to try throwing them at the beginning of the episode because it would really help me out a lot if you guys would go to thedadpodcast.com and become a paid subscriber. It's $2 a month or $24 a year, but if everybody listening did one of those two options, it would literally change my life. So if you don't mind, because I know that some of you are driving or whatever, hit pause, send yourself a text message or send yourself an email just to remind yourself when you get home to go to thedadpodcast.com and either do the $2 a month option or the $24 a year option, and I would greatly appreciate it. Also, want to make sure I throw a big shout out to our wonderful friends at Naptime Radio, naptimeradio.com. Love those chicks. They're my favorite ladies. They recently had a little write-up. If you go to facebook.com/dadpodcast, I put a link to the article that they had written about them. So please give them a check out as well. And I'm going to stop babbling. And without further ado, enjoy the episode with Mr. Nolan North. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode number 63. I'm going to go with 2 years in the making. I finally have Nolan North here in studio. Now I have a studio. Things have changed. Nolan did my video game podcast that I do with my best friend a long time ago, which I think is an awkward, interesting story worth telling. Because you are a very kind soul who...
It has been 2 years?
Since? I think 2 years. I really think so.
Well, I was waiting for the studio.
That's what
I don't,
you did.
I don't work.
I don't get out of bed unless there's orange and blue acoustic foam on the walls.
Exactly.
And so I contacted your management because I am also a huge fan of the game that you're most known for, although most people may not know that you're on every game ever. Any game that you've ever played, I'm pretty sure you're the voice of the monkey in Donkey Kong. That's what I'm going
to
go with.
I'm actually trying to replace that guy.
Yeah, you should.
I'm trying to put everyone out of work. That's the idea. That's the goal.
So you were so great, and you contacted me, and you even looked on my website, and you go, listen, I'm so excited to do this podcast and finally talk about being a dad. And I went, oh.
Exactly. No, this is about games. I'm like, oh
damn it.
All right.
Let's... But then when you said that, I was like, holy shit. And my wife even yelled at me afterwards. She goes, why did you even do the video game one? I go, I know. It was dumb. It was stupid. But I'm so happy to have you here.
Well, thank you. No, but the thing is, people don't realize that it's like... I'm part-time a video, you know,
yes.
voiceover actor. Yeah. I'm a full-time dad.
Right, exactly.
And there's much more interesting things happen in my life as a dad than they do as an actor.
So right, exactly. Well, that's what I was so excited.
About. That's the thing. I have more to say, more to talk about.
Yeah, so how many kids do you have? Let's get the stats out.
I have two. Two boys.
Two boys, too. All right. Yeah, I have two boys as well.
13 and 10.
Oh,
and,
you're like my future.
I am the future. And, wow. And the future is good, my friend.
Oh, really?
Yes. No, they're great, you know, although... they just started the school, you know, 5th and 8th grade, and well, it started like just a couple of weeks ago. One got a rash, something in the backyard, so
awesome.
On his neck, so he got to stay out yesterday and today out of school. And on my way here, the nurse called and said the other one's apparently, I don't know, he's got like tonsillitis or something horrible is happening in his throat and he can't breathe, so... My wife's on the way to take care of him. So I'm like, oh, this is great. Going to the dad podcast, like a responsible father. Both my kids are ill at home. Screw them.
Yeah, but that was my question is that in that sense, I think our roles are reversed. Does your wife work or is she primarily a stay-at-home mom?
Stay-at-home mom. She, you know, she was an actor for a long time and then you know, she just didn't want to do it anymore.
Who would, right?
No, she really didn't want to do it. And it was...
I agree. That's why I'm not being a smartass.
Yeah.
I'm saying who would.
No, and the thing about it, she just, you know, we really felt that it was, you know, especially out here in L.A., you know, if somebody's home. And at the time when we started having a family, I was on a soap opera. I was on a TV show. So it was kind of like, and if she had been on the show...
Roles would have been reversed, probably.
Yeah, and sometimes she'll say, she said, oh, you know, I don't have a career anymore. And that's okay because the boys, I'm like, you know, if you had been working...
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, would have no problem being that guy.
Yeah.
I'd be like dropping off at school, go hit a couple buckets of balls at the range, get just a little shitty with bourbon, and then just enough to pick them up at school.
And then drive the carpool.
Yeah, drive the carpool. Hey, yeah, sure. Let Mikey come on over. We're having a party.
Let's do it right, guys. Yeah, like, come woo. On.
Woo!
That's it. Daddy loves you more than scotch. That's but not by much. But yeah, no, so it's been good. It's always nice to have somebody, you know, home. And you always see that I can always tell the kids whose parents are missing from their life most of the time,
yeah,
because they're out of their minds.
Yes,
you know,
and really super. Here's the thing: you have more experience because yours are older. I'm still in the toddler world, and when I go to the preschool, I have that same exact thought you're talking about, where it's the kid who has no idea who I am, but just needs me to look at him and watch him do something. Like yeah. He just comes up like, "Hey, watch this! Watch what I could do!" And I'm like, "You got it, bud. I'm gonna emotionally hug you right now."
That's it's a big emotional hug.
I'm gonna stare at you, attempt to fall off of a slide right now, yeah. And I hope that you feel loved because of it. But that's
of course,
all.
Is it awkward being the dad?
Oh yeah,
it's so much you know, female dominated.
It is thing. Completely.
Like I when my kids were in preschool, I actually you know we did one of those you know mommy and me classes, but mommy was sick, so I went once, yeah. And my son was. He was big as a toddler, you know, he was just a big kid. So it's hard for kids like that, that are bigger, but they're still emotionally young because I don't know what it is. Other parents think, well, he's more mature because he's bigger.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't, you know, and he'd go around and he was doing his thing. And, you know, this one woman said, you know, he's not doing it right. And my daughter usually sits there. And I said, well, your daughter doesn't sit there today. I mean, he wants to sit there. You just need to. And she started getting on to my kid. And you know what? I really don't want to say exactly the specifics of what happened, but I was asked to leave the mommy and me
yes,
and
you
not
were.
Return.
Yes, you were, goddamn
it. I had a few choice words for that whore.
I like the idea of being that guy where you could just pop into the mommy and me group and then get thrown out. Like,
yeah,
how did the conversation go with your wife when yeah. you came home?
Well, no. Well, she understood.
How was mommy and me?
How was mommy and me? I was like, well, I won't be going back.
She, what?
Yeah. And but I told her what. My wife's pretty cool. And I told her what happened. She said, oh, I know that woman. She's yeah. horrible.
Did you call her a whore? Because somebody needs to call her a whore. Take her down a notch.
That would just tame of what I called her. Yeah. But I spelled it out. Because
yeah, because you're in a preschool mommy.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I don't want the kids walking home saying that word.
I like the idea of that because I imagine some kind of C-U-N-T word flying out, you know, but it's being spelled. And then all of the adults going, wait. Oh, like,
yeah.
There's a beat, and then I gasp for air.
Yeah, well, sometimes I'll change it. I'll use that word, but I'll use a cunt.
Oh,
I'll do the long U.
Okay, cunt.
You cunt. You know?
Yeah, you throw an accent
like I'm
in
Swedish
it.
Or something.
Yeah. If Europe, they use it all the time. It's not even an insult.
No,
there.
It's not.
It's a term
it's
of affection.
Beautiful, wonderful word. And
right.
It should be used more often.
Yeah, we should adopt that. As
all my British friends call me that.
I am not that guy. My wife is that guy. She's
she's the enforcer.
She has a famous story, famous to us, but we were at Costco, and I had to go get something at a Lowe's that was near a Costco, and I came walking around the corner, and and I heard her just as I was coming around the corner going, how am I going to find her in a Costco? Just in time, this is what I hear her say. You know what? Fuck you. I will take care of my child. You fucking worry about your cell phones, asshole. And I went, there she is. Like,
there's nice. That's
why don't you
okay.
fuck off?
Okay. All right. Okay. I didn't know we could use that language on your podcast. Yeah. I said something very similar to a woman, and I was right close to her yeah. face. And as the words are coming out, I just thought to myself, I hope she doesn't have a big husband.
Right? Yeah.
Because I'm probably going to hear about this. But she clearly went back to some.
In Los Angeles, your odds are pretty good, though, that she's
yeah.
not. He's
but
probably.
She was a horrible woman, and she probably got home to her husband, and he was like hanging from the shower curtain. Just had taken his own life.
Finally,
just to get
let
away
it go.
From this twat.
Let it go. Either that, or he listens to the story and secretly rooting for you. It's
yeah.
like, yeah, you, yeah. Yeah, you got what you deserved. Yeah,
just. Left the writing with the kids, you know, a silly string on the bathroom wall. Like, can't take no more whore.
Sorry. Bye-bye.
just doesn't. And, yeah. And of course, he's naked.
Of course.
In my head.
Yeah, he's David Carradine all over again. But my reactions are always, here's what I get at the preschool, including from the teachers, is that, like, when I first started taking him, there's a Mexican lady, Miss Cada, who's now becoming my favorite character there. They have all across the board. I have Miss Cada and Miss Mona, who's Filipino, and then an Indian lady, Miss Anu, and that's the younger kids' class. Then they transfer to the Muslim lady, Miss Ozma, who's the sweetest woman you'll ever meet. And when I told my son, what do you think Miss Ozma would like for Christmas? Because she got the kids, like, little presents, and he said he wanted to get her something.
RPG?
He
goes, yeah. What did he want? What did he say?
A plane ticket. Off the fly, no fly list. He said she likes T-shirts with hoods, is what he said that she liked.
Really?
So, yeah, he's my little racist. I'm very proud of him.
T-shirts with hoods.
That's what he thought she was wearing, because she always had the head wrap, you know? And so, anyway, so Miss Cada, when I was dropping off the boys, she goes, you know, it's good that you babysit them, is what she said to me. And I go, what? She goes, that you babysit the children, it's good. And because of her little broken English, which I think she was saying that I care for them, that I'm involved. Yes. See, to her generation, just me dropping off the kids, she thinks that I then go off and run my Fortune 500 company or something. You know, she doesn't know.
Well, that's the way it is. See, you're either, you know, the stay-at-home dad who obviously travels a lot in your business doing the comedy and this kind of stuff. Or your uber rich guy who's just like dropping them off, you know, from a helicopter or something and going, kids, have a good day at school. I'm going to go check on the yacht now.
Yeah, exactly. The guy who barely looks at them.
When he just, like, drops yacht, them off. Yacht, yacht. Very good.
Well done, son.
Well done.
I'll see you in a week.
Here's $100.
Have fun.
Yeah. Go play with the plebeians.
But they, like, there was another time my sons were jumping in like a puddle in the out there in front.
Yeah.
And the mom looked at me. She goes, they're going to get all wet. And I go, yeah, I'm taking them home right now. School's over. Like, they're just having fun. Like, why can't they jump in a puddle? Like, the moms have this stupid thought that if they get wet feet mixed with a draft, that all of a sudden they have a virus of some kind. Like, they're going to be cold and sick, and that's how it works.
Yeah, okay. But how they should recognize that, how rare is a puddle in L.A.?
Exactly. That's what my thought was.
Like, should I jump in them?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I roll around. I drink a little bit. Yeah, you know.
Do it right.
Yeah, it's the only way to keep viruses off you.
That's right.
Is to drink
Stay
the pond
strong.
Water.
And then
have you ever seen a hobo sick?
Nope. No. No, you don't.
Ever seen a homeless guy with influenza?
Nope. Never happens. No. Homeless guys, they don't need Obamacare. They're like, no, thank you.
They don't need anything.
I eat grass, and that's enough.
I mainline heroin and drink my own pee.
That's
I'm great.
My cleanse. That's what I do. Oh, cayenne pepper that.
Man, I wish I was homeless.
It'd be so great. And here in L.A., you get to be so sexy still and be homeless. That's what's great about it.
They're ripped.
Oh, God.
They're shredded.
Great abs.
Homeless guys and gay dudes are like that. But you know what? There's another comedian I heard recently talking. You might even know. I don't know where it was, but he was talking about how you'd like to thank all the gay, the hot gay dudes, because they're basically, every time there's one hot gay dude that could take away a hot girl,
mm-hmm.
he's taking it's like two gay dudes, you know, take away the attraction.
Yeah.
So there's more for us.
All right.
Of course, we don't have any more because we're done. But
right. Not you and me. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. You know, so I haven't seen my abs in about 12 years. I know they're under there.
But every see, I think it's because of the gays.
Too much.
We don't have to. You know what I mean? That now what happens is that if you're too hot, then women don't think that you're straight. That's what I think they're also doing for us. I think it's a public service that they provide. They're not only do they clean up bad neighborhoods like they did in West Hollywood.
Oh, my God.
But they.
It's beautiful down
right?
there.
Right. And it used to be a hellhole, from what I understand. Just a total shithole that. And
yes,
then they
it was.
They got in
it was
there.
Before I, you know. Got into Scientology and was turned around in my ways. I can't even finish that line because I can't picture myself doing it. Let's jump on that Scientology section for a second.
Okay.
One of the first auditions I ever had as an actor came out here. Was at
really?
the church that's over on Franklin.
Over on Hollywood Boulevard near Highland?
Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
And I walked in and they kept taking me from room to room, and I'm waiting to read. You know, I don't know. Somebody sent me there for an audition. I'm new. You know, it's like I literally had just gotten off the plane about a month earlier.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just room, and someone come in and talk to me a little bit about everything about me. And I'm like, yeah, who's – are you reading the scene with me? And they're like, oh, no, that'll be Ted. He's in there. Okay. And I literally went into about six, seven rooms, finally got in with Ted, and I said, okay, so – Are we going to put it on tape? And he said, well, no, I just want to know more, a little bit of yourself. And I finally stopped. Can I? He said, excuse me. I said, I'm from the East Coast, so can I ask you a quick question? He goes, sure. I go, what the fuck is going on here?
Well, and sir, your thetas are way out of line.
They looked at me, and he's like, excuse me? I said, listen, I don't need this job. I don't even know if there is a job. But I know that I've been moved around about six rooms, and you know, and it keeps getting down different corridors to where I've kind of lost where the hell I am in this building.
Yep.
So technically, I'm lost. And I, and in my head, I was like, they're going to murder me, or rape then murder, or a little worse for them, murder then rape.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I felt like I was going to be penetrated.
Something bad. I had a similar experience when I first came down here. I found an audition, got called in. But that was like through Actors Access. Like they would email you, and then I would go, okay, I didn't have an agent at that point. So I go there, but they just showed me video after video after video.
One of the rooms had a video.
Yeah, all I remember is that you walk in, it looks like a building, but then you walk in and it looks like a, like what you imagine a rehab, or if you watch True Blood, like what the fairyland looks like.
Yeah.
It's like this lush garden everywhere with all these
weird,
like Greek columns type or sculptures and stuff. And then I watched this, it seemed like I was there for an hour and 15 minutes, and then I was just like, I think I should go.
I know. I mean,
I don't think this is for me.
Anyway, this is a sidebar off everything, but I remember just walking through there thinking, and that was almost 20 years ago. So I'm thinking, wow, now with the stuff that's come out now with the Remini and all this stuff. So anyway.
Yeah, that's so you were doing this pre like Cruz, Travolta, when they were known for all that stuff.
Before it became really popular, I was like, what the hell is going
on? Why am I here?
What? And I just said, what the fuck is going on? Well, I don't think that kind of language is necessary. I said, listen, I do. I said, so unless you want to read this scene, I think we're done here. And he said, no, we'll read it. And we read this, one of the most awkward reads I ever had. He didn't even have the pages. He kind of looked at mine, and we just said, nothing was recorded. And I'm looking, going, it's like if you and I, if you suddenly had just said, okay, let's do a scene together.
Here we go.
And there's no cameras.
Go.
And we did it. And he goes, that was really good. All right, well, and I said, okay, thank you very much. How do I get out? And they let me out a door, and I was in the back alley by the dumpsters. They didn't even take me back to the front door. The dumpsters, and I literally ran to my car because I was waiting for like something bad to happen. I said there was no scenario in my head where I didn't end up with like fingers inside me. And I just said, I'm out. And now all this stuff comes out. I'm like, yeah, I was there.
I was there. I was there
20 years ago. Brolin and I had to break out through a back window. Brolin. I don't know.
That's a great pull. I like it. I could see you guys in a buddy cop film or something.
Right? Yeah. Don't you see that? I'm talking about James.
Oh, crap.
Let Bab sing the soundtrack.
Back
to dads.
Yes. A long time ago, and that's why I feel like 2 years ago you said, you know what? I had to have the talk with my son when he was like uber young. Am I crazy? Am I misremembering this?
No, I know what you're talking about.
Like, so I feel like I would be remiss if, because I know that I have a tendency to get off track a little myself. So if I didn't at least ask you, how was that? I haven't even gotten anywhere near that. I know that there was a kid, they had how lucky are these kids? They had like a hot, like an LA hot 25-year-old girl hanging out in her bikini sunbathing on the roof near their preschool. And the director was telling me that all the boys were like climbing up on top of the slide so they could look at her. And I go, what's great is that they don't really know why they want to look, but their animal part of their brain is going,
right,
we must see this.
But see, that's the thing. And anybody who doesn't think that, you know, straight or gay is not is a choice.
Yeah.
No, I guarantee there was a couple kids at the bottom going, I'm not going up there.
Not with what she's wearing.
Oh, my God. Do you believe that? I mean, the top doesn't even match the bottoms.
Yeah, it's a little tight for that bosom, honey.
Yeah. The side cleavage is side cleavage.
Just give it away.
Come on, we have to go to coloring. The funny thing is it was actually my younger son, so I think he must have been 5 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 5 or 6, right in there. And I remember my wife and I were concerned with him. We still are concerned, but we were concerned at one point because he had worse. He'd go out and play, and he'd come in, he had worse body odor than I did. And you're like, why is this kid dripping testosterone with BO when he's 6? He'd come back from playing soccer or something. You're like, oh, my God, take that shirt off. We're going to burn it. And And then one day, you know, I'm just messing around and I grab the laptop and I just look, and he obviously doesn't know how to clear things yet.
Oh, really?
And the it's a YouTube is up, and it's the search is for naked ladies.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, of course, it's most of the stuff is it's Victoria's Secret models. Yeah. And then there's, of course, out here, there's websites for the, you know, some of the, he found boobs is what, yeah, I'm saying. He found like the
at
doctors.
Six?
The doc. Yeah. He just like, and I said,
that's
and
great.
And I had to go in and talk to him. I said, so, you know, I said, hey, listen, you saw this. And he's like, am I in trouble? And he's too young to even know if he was in trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm just curious. You know, you're really kind of young to be looking at that. And at that time, you know, my wife would still get out of the shower and be, yeah, naked in front of me. It didn't matter. And he'd get out of the shower, run the tub, and he's in the tub, whatever. And I just said, well, no, I'm just curious why you want to look at it. He goes, I don't know, just wanted to. And he's like so nonchalant and kind of not even paying attention. I'm like, you know, you little shit, you should pay attention. This should be more serious. But I didn't want to make it too
serious.
Right,
you don't want to make it heavy. And
so I just said, so, but can you tell me why? He goes, oh, it makes me feel good. And I go, how does it make you feel good, though? He goes, I don't know. Just kind of like down there. It just kind of makes me feel kind of good. And I just went, oh no!
you just step forward and went, click. Oh shit! Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like we're moving to Chatsworth. We got ourselves a little Johnny Holmes here. But you know, he never did anything. And you know, and it actually kind of stopped after a while. And you know, then we went to our older son. Like, has he been looking at this? And he's like the saint. Like, if you had a daughter, you'd want.
Your oldest son, yeah.
My oldest son to marry your daughter.
Yeah.
About my youngest one, I tell people I'm just doing everything I can to keep him out of prison. I keep him from getting anyone pregnant before he goes to prison.
Yeah.
Because it's going to happen.
Yeah. That's your best case scenario.
But you know, I mean, it's been, and then the other one's now 13, and, you know, and he's still the kid. I'm like, listen, if you want to talk about things, you know, I know you're going to be getting into girls. He goes, yeah, I'm not really into them just yet. I mean, I know they're pretty, but, you know, I'm just, I said, Dad, I'm cool. I'm just not ready. You know, I mean, there's a couple I like, but he looked at me and goes, I'm 13. What am I going to do? And I was just like, okay. He's like more mature than me.
Yeah, exactly.
Because my instinct was like, you fuck him, dude. That's what you do.
What you do.
You get your shit in there.
You find a one with a daddy issue, and you get in there.
You find one. You find one who puts fucking glitter in her hair, and you.
That's the winner chicken dinner. Yeah, you pick exactly. One up and down. I'm going to go to school with you, and I'm just going to point out the weak ones in the herd. All right? That's what we're going to do, step one.
You put the hottest thing you got in the place where she goes to the bathroom. Stuck his six iron in her toilet.
What if it's the wrong one? There is no wrong one. Just get in there.
Just, you know. God, it's so horrible. But the thing is, I'm prepared for that, because as they get older, you know, we both, both my wife and I talk about it, said, listen, you know, as long as you keep that open line of communication with kids.
Yeah.
You know, especially with the drugs and alcohol and stuff that goes on in schools. You want to be able to, you know, be the cool dad. I want to be that dad. It's like, listen, you're going to drink. No, Dad, we don't even like this taste, to, you know, smell of beer, taste of beer. Because I'll let them, yeah, you know, taste a little of this, yeah, stuff. Into vodka, though. Boy, they like that. Screwdrivers in the morning.
Oh,
so guess who made the honor roll? But. You know, I told you, I want to kind of demystify that whole thing.
Right.
Because I had my dad did the same thing, and I never really cared for booze.
Same thing with me, yeah.
But I had friends whose parents locked up the cabinet.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, breaking that code on the cabinet and stealing something and that was it for them.
Trying to fill it up with water and all that. Yeah. I feel like the more you make things taboo, the more appealing you make it.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And so, but I, you know, I told them, I said, listen, the biggest fear that I have, and it's just as they get older, is that they get in a car with someone, because you read about it far too often. And I think of all the crazy shit I did and got away with, and I just don't want them to do that. And, like, if I had called my old man at, like, 3 in the morning, going, hi, I need you to pick me up. I'm just downstream at Bobby's house. He's like, you sleep at Bobby's house, or you walk home, or, you know, or click. I mean, those are the three options.
My dad's rule was, if you call me, I'll come pick you up. I'm not going to be happy about it, but if you show up in the house drunk in the middle of the night and I know you drove – I will make your life a living fucking hell.
Like, yeah.
He sat me down, looked me dead in the eye, and verbatim said, I will fucking destroy you.
Yeah. Well, my thing is slightly different. I'm like, I won't be mad. You call me. We'll talk about it the next day and say, you know, you just, you know, this is, make sure you're not having a problem here. Did you go out? Is it? But like I told you, like my older one is like a saint. The younger one, the other one doesn't like it because he's just major into soccer. I mean, he's a, you know, he'll literally go to, you know, they have two practices a week and then tournaments on the weekend, and they have optional, and he'll go every day. We have to tell him no, you don't go, because all he wants to do.
That's a quality problem though, right?
Yeah. So the thing is like that. Then he found out that he said, Dad, you shouldn't drink beer. You know, it makes you fat. And I'm like, does it now? And he goes, yeah. He said, you know, he'll like, they got some, like, I think there's one called Ultra. You could have that. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it's not beer. That's bubbly water. So, Daddy's going to have a Guinness, and you can shut your mouth. Daddy's going to drink the Bound fat.
Tell you what.
This one's got minerals.
Let me get three more of these in me, and we can have this conversation again with a soccer ball. You want to get hoppy with me?
Hoppy. You see that? That was a pun, son. It's a pun. Oh. Okay, Daddy just shit a little bit. And we're not going to tell Mommy, right?
Just me and you. We're just talking here.
We're talking.
Look
here.
At me. Look at me.
You want to see titties on the internet? You fucking keep your mouth shut.
I'm the only one who knows the password now.
Dad, those sites are free. Oh, shit.
Damn it. That's another. My parents and I'm always happy about that. I recently went through my. Here's what I'm trying to say.
What happened?
I don't
right
know.
There?
I broke down. I blue screened on you. I'm sorry.
Wow.
My dad unintentionally showed me a porno when I was about 6 or 7.
Unintentionally?
Yes. The listeners, unless they're fairly new, may have already heard the story, but my sister, I have a stepsister and a stepbrother that are a lot older than me. It was her 21st birthday. My dad never let us have parties at the house. He was like, you want to do that? That's not for me to handle. But he said, have your friends over. You guys can have some drinks and here. That way I know everybody's safe kind of thing. So he took everybody's keys, did that whole adult thing. And the guys were walking in and out from, they're mostly hanging out in the backyard. So they're away from my parents. So my dad thought it'd be funny to put one of his porno videos on just to see if the guys even noticed. And so he was out playing kind of host and he came in and there I was sitting in my PJs watching this movie. And he was like, oh shit. Like it kind of blew up in his face because he wasn't thinking about me.
Oh man. You know, I remember when cable came to our town and there was like, you know, the Playboy channel or something.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I'm probably 10, 11 years old. And I remember trying to get down this old, you know, house in New England where I grew up, and the stairs, and you had to find out exactly where they were thinking so I could actually, and I actually saw my first kind of a nudie film, whatever, upside down, hanging for holding onto a wall. I mean, if I had slipped, I would have broken my neck and literally tumbled down a flight of stairs, and I kind of looking down through the banister trying to see things, and most of the women were already upside down, so it looked fine from my perspective.
Meanwhile, our kids, all they have to do is wait for us to leave the room. All they got to do. They don't even have to. There's no danger involved.
I've already prepared my wife. I said, listen, very shortly, in a couple of years, we're going to have two teenage boys. I mean, every towel is going to be able to stand on its own. You know, it's just going to. She's like, that's disgusting. I'm like, it's going to happen.
Listen,
she's like, well.
Well, our boys, they're different. No, listen, they're half me. Trust me.
They're half me. You know, I'm in my 40s and I'll still beat it like it owes me money. I don't care. I don't give a damn.
You don't know this, but there's a Miwok village in the backyard from what I've done alone.
Yeah, exactly. You know why? The real reason we had to put the dog down? That fucker could talk.
He started getting lippy.
Why is it going to be a he? Why is it going to be a he?
I thought that was man's best friend. Is that not? I don't know what you do in your spare time. I didn't mean it judgy. It's a new world we live in.
It is. It really is. No, the funny thing about that, I worry about pornography with my kids because,
right.
You know, you sit there and you think, you know, because I'm pretty much a connoisseur at this point. Yeah. And I don't ever want these kids in this generation. Like I had my wife has a cousin and when he was a teenager, he'd come out to visit us out here. He said, oh man, those honeys. He said, yeah, you know, I was with this girl and I, you know, get up there and you smack that ass. And I said, let me just stop you for a second. Don't ever smack the ass unless you're in a rap video,
no, yeah,
and she's being paid, you don't want to smack that ass. Mm-hmm. You don't want to do this. And this whole in-out thing you see in a porn, that ain't going to cut it either. And if you're expecting her to scream and yell like they go, what I'm telling you is this is a movie.
Yes.
Where with not actors. It's just people fucking the wrong way. And they're doing positions for camera. And you don't do that with a woman if you expect her to be happy with about it.
Right.
You know. Yes. And you know, and please don't push her down to her knees when you're done, about really close.
Yeah, and that's not,
you know. And expect her to go, oh,
at last.
It's like frothing. It's like I'm at Cinnabon now. No. You will be in handcuffs within 20 minutes.
That's how I feel the talk is going to go with my sons. Like that's honestly where I feel like, because here's the thing. I grew up, as I was just saying, in a different kind of family than most. I told my parents the day after I lost my virginity. Like, nice. I came in for breakfast, and I go, guess what I did last night? And they're like, what? I go, I had sex. And my mom was like, oh, my little boy's a man. And she made me pancakes.
Really?
Yeah, she made me pancakes for breakfast because it was a celebration. My dad sat me down, and I thought he was going to have the birds and the bees talk, which he kind of already had with me a long time ago. And he goes, well, sit down, son. And he was like, kind of like what you were discussing.
Yeah.
He said, if you're going to be sexually active, you're going to need to learn how to please a woman. Now, if you want, this is where I got creepy for me. Even.
No, oh,
he goes,
no.
If you want, I could share with you some of my personal tips, like some of my moves.
Let me show you how I make mommy come.
Honey, come out of the kitchen. Come over here real quick.
Honey, can you just say, all right, now listen. See that right there? Now, you don't want to go down here. You want to stay up high. See that? There's the man on the boat. Honey, stop laughing. All right, now.
It tickles.
Daddy's just going to. And it's like, can I just have my pancakes, please? Wow.
Yeah. I'm very close with my parents. Very close.
No, I wasn't that close. No. All I remember my first sexual experience was just there was a lot of screaming and crying. And then she showed up. Yeah. And then there's more screaming. You know, stop. Please stop. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
A lot of. Anyway, no.
Then you paid her, and then it was over.
It was, it was horrible. But it was terrible. It's like, I remember finishing going, that was it? The funny thing is like, a lot of times it's somebody's girlfriend, somebody's, your girlfriend and boyfriend or something, and it's not somebody else's girlfriend.
Yeah.
What I meant is like, it's your girlfriend. It's your significant other at that time.
I was going to say, I don't know how you do it on the East Coast, but guys got balls.
My first was like I would have been done 3 years earlier, but I got blocked by my mom who came home. Oh my God, it was great. It was like this cheap, slutty chick in the neighborhood who was smoking cigarettes and everything. I was like, I didn't even have a driver's license. I was like, this is going to happen right under the bumper pool table.
Thank God she came home when she did, though, not like 10 minutes later.
No, it would have been awesome. 10 minutes later, I would have done it twice. No, it was about to happen. But she was taking the condom out. She was going to put it on. I was like, oh my God. And got it out. And then, honey, are you here? I was like, no. It's the biggest block ever.
Quick.
It was the biggest block ever. And then never happened. But mine was like a one night stand. It was like just a one nighter. And it was just, it's awful.
Not good times.
Oh, just not good. It was just
like, I think that the girl that I had mine with has a similar experience. Mine was great, but I was I still am to a certain extent. And people listening to the show are going, no, completely. I have a little bit of a mangina, I guess, is what I have come to call.
I'm so terrified right now.
Okay. All right.
a mangina.
Okay. I'm saying that I cried at the movie Real Steel, is what I'm saying. So I am.
So did I. Mangina? Dude, what kind of human being are you if you don't cry at Real
Thank
Steel?
Thank you. Thank you.
What are you shitting? We're fathers.
Yeah.
Boys. It's like, no. Hold on. Ready? I'm going to get you so misty right now. Ready?
Oh, boy.
Wanted you to fight for me. That's all I ever wanted.
Ah!
Ah! Ah! Oh my God.
Honey, what's wrong?
Oh my God. No, no, it's like, what's wrong? I mean, I literally was on, I didn't see it in the theaters. Yeah. Saw it on the, and I literally went, that was the noise that came out, and everyone looked at me. I was like, bah. That was it. Bah. And just, I mean, streaming down the face. And my kids are like, Daddy, are you okay? I'm like, I would fight for you. I would fight for you. I don't care. I would go up against it. I don't care if it's a Asian who can spin kick me. I'm fucking I love you so much.
Yeah.
No, real steel. Nightman, Gina. No.
Thank you.
I'm
glad you came here today. Now you made me feel better.
You should feel great.
Thank you.
I would be upset with you if you didn't.
Thank you.
What kind of a robot are you?
Thank you. I appreciate this.
Holy shit. Real
I can
steel.
Only imagine you're going to get in your car after this and go, what the fuck, though?
Oh, and the little kid. No, the little kid.
That's good, right?
Oh, I love that movie.
Right, me
not
too.
Even say it's Rocky with it's Rocky
robots,
Rock'em Sock'em Rocky
yes,
robots.
Yes, I loved every minute of it. So when I had my first relations, if you would,
yes.
Afterwards, I was very concerned because I had heard tale that it is painful for the lady, and so I was like, "Well, are you okay?" She was like, "Yeah, I'm fine." Like, and I go, "Well, how did it feel?" Like, I want to know because if we ever did it again, I wanted to try. And here's the thing:
you never had sex with her again, probably.
No,
because you talk too much.
Exactly.
Wait, that's what you're going to tell the kids. You know, maybe that's it. Just shut up.
Or if I don't want them to worry about impregnating, I tell them to talk to them, and then it keeps them safe until they're old enough. Maybe, I don't know, but. So you're right, though. But here's what it did is it did get me a reputation, I think, in the high school that I was the guy that if you wanted to lose your virginity, I knew what was going on. So I became like a
– Really?
Yeah. Like I was the guy that –
You were the test pilot.
Yes. The
you're
girls,
fucking Chuck Yeager.
This, yes.
You're
I
the
would,
Chuck
I
Yeager.
I would break the shit out of your sound barrier hymen. And,
oh, my God.
But in a gentle, loving, sensitive
the
way.
The hymenator.
That's what they called me. It was on my Letterman jacket.
Justin Warsham. The hymenator.
Right. That's what German – Warsham in German is hymenator.
On your back. Nice.
Here I come, but ever so slowly and gently. I will
okay?
make lots of eye contact.
Are you okay? Can you smell the candle? Your friend Teresa told me you like vanilla. I also have apple spice.
If you prefer.
If you prefer. Maybe a little mix. It'd be like an apple pie. Oh, I'm finished.
That's about right. That's about all the sex I had in high school.
I'm going to tell you. This is literally the only sex talk my father ever had with me. And that's why I think I want to be better to my kids. I want to be open. And I don't think they need a sex talk just as like, listen, you know what? You know, take what they know and you listen. I think it's just part of our generation of as being a father is like you're more open to talking to them.
And, yes.
You know, my dad, you know, he's almost 80 and, you know, so what he grew up in the 50s, you know, and different time. And he we were in Rhode Island where I grew up. And I could take you to the spot the words were uttered as we. There was a convenience store / gas station called Cumberland Farms in the street. And I remember driving by and I'm looking out the window. And we're just before that when he says this. And he says, so you know about sex and girls, right? And I didn't. Uh-huh. I was probably like 11 or 12. And I, like my oldest son, I wasn't really, I knew I liked girls, but I was just, it was, I was a late bloomer. I just really wasn't kind of my thing at that point. But my brother was older, so my brother was 7 years older than me, and we were really tight. So, you know, he talked to me more than my dad did. And he said, you know about girls and sex, right? I'm like, yeah, I guess, you know. He says, all right, well, you know, just you don't want to get anyone pregnant. I'm like, Dad. And he goes, so just, you know, pull out and shoot it on their stomach. And I'll never forget, he said, that's it. That was my sex talk. Yeah, you don't want to get anyone pregnant, so just, you know, pull out and shoot it on their stomach. Real classy gentleman.
And
I remember going, being embarrassed and going, okay. And I turned and looked out the window of the passenger side, saw the Cumberland Farms, and in my head went, shoot what? I hadn't even masturbated at that point in my life, and I'm going, What am I supposed to shoot?
Am I going to be armed? What is
oh,
that?
My God.
I had a similar moment when they split us up in elementary school to talk to the boys and the girls, and I was in sixth grade, and he said, you know, He said a lot of guys think that they can pull out and that's how they can avoid getting pregnant or whatever.
Yeah,
and
geniuses.
And I remember sharing, that was one of those moments that I'd open my mouth, I'd go, but gave none of the other kids knew either, but I gave him a wonderful little giggle because I said, that's so stupid. How would you even know that it's happening? And he goes, he just started laughing. He goes, believe me, you'll know.
It's the Bukkake defense.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't get pregnant because it's in your hair.
Okay, I guess.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God. That's too much. Yeah. So hopefully things will go a little smoother with my own kids.
You're kind of knocking on the door, huh? Like, I guess what I wanted to also say is that have you had any issues like with them? Because here's what I'm worried about is like when I get into public school and I mean, you've already had the mommy and me situation. Is there like do they still do PTA meetings? Like, I feel like there's a new weird expectation that you as a dad, even if you are the working husband, like you have to leave work to go to like school functions in the middle of the day.
You know, it's funny. I just did that the other day. My wife was out of town with the kids, actually, at the end of the Was this at the end of? Oh, no. I'm sorry. Yeah, we actually had a death in the family, and she had to.
Hilarious.
Good times all around. No, and she had to. She had to leave town with her. She and her brother lives out here. They flew back for this funeral, and so I watched the kids. And one of the nights is the back to school night awesome. For the parents, and you know, so and the you know what you'll notice and you'll see that a lot of times it's now. Not just moms or dads, it's moms and dads. I don't know if it's out of guilt, but it doesn't matter. Usually they'll set it up at 6, 7 at night. So the hard thing is kids can't go. So it's literally one of those nights that, you know.
You have to pay a sitter or.
You have to pay a sitter. It's like, well, what are they supposed to do? I mean, they should have, you know, got the assembly hall and let the kids hang out, run around and somebody watch them, but they didn't. Fortunately, mine are old enough. I'm like,
just sit here.
Okay, yeah, go play Call of Duty. I don't care.
You keep the computer to 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. You keep the computer, you know, put saran wrap down before you use it.
Not in my office chair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. So I went, and it was just, it's so funny how they will, it's sexist, I guess, to a certain extent, but how they'll, They will talk to more to the moms, uh-huh. And then when they see a father, oh well, Mr. North, thank you for coming. I assumed you didn't
like
love
they're
your
still
children.
Stuck in 1958.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny. It's like, you know, I assumed is Mrs. North not coming? And I'm like, no, you know, and I want to look like it's like no, I do you have a shovel and a bag of lime? Because I got to get up to Palmdale in a hurry.
And can you just make a note that you saw me real quick?
Yeah. Let's take a picture together and just date
Facebook.
And time this. Yeah. Okay. Because I just need just a picture. Yeah, but they still get that way.
Yeah.
You know, but honestly, then last night was my older son's back to school night. Because he's actually their school goes like K through eight, mm-hmm. So the fifth grader, so it was K through five, and then 6, 7, and 8 has another night, and I had a long day at work yesterday. I was just shattered, and I was just tired, and you know, and I'm driving back, and she said, "Yeah, I'm just making dinner because, you know, he doesn't feel very good, and you know, number two didn't have a very good day," and we're like, "Okay," I said, "So," she said, "Can you do this back to school night?" And this is why I love my wife. I said, "Yeah, I'm just so tired, but it's just." She goes, "You know what? Fuck it." I went, "Really?" And she's like, "Yeah, just come home. You know what? He doesn't care, and they're doing this big thing, and I can't stand half those people anyway." And she's like, "And we've been doing."
Oh my gosh, I fell in love with your wife.
She goes, "We've been doing this for how many years there? You know, and it's a parochial school, so it's not private, super money private, but it is a paid parochial school." And she said, "We pay them." She said, "Just come home. You're tired." And I was like. And I just got home, and you know, dinner was there. And she was like, "It was great."
Oh my gosh, you lucky son of a bitch!
Yeah, and I look at my son. I'm like, "You okay that I didn't go?" He goes, "Yeah, no, that's cool. I don't care." And I'm like, and you know, then there's the notice that parents must attend. And we're like, "What are they going to say? Middle school police after?"
Yeah,
us?
Exactly.
You didn't show up, you, Mr. North. You have detention.
you didn't show up so we could tell you, especially he's the saintly one. You didn't show up so we could say, your kid's awesome. Like,
yeah. By the way, your kid has been first honors every semester he's been here.
Yeah.
How dare you not show up?
Because yeah. I'm not worried, asshole.
We had, the funny thing is, one of my most proudest moments as a father. I don't know if you've done this with your guests, but one of my proudest moments as a father.
It's funny because we're about to wrap up, and this is what we do. We do like a moment of the week kind of thing.
Really?
It doesn't have to, yeah, it doesn't have to be at the end of the week or last week. It's just like a moment where you're like, this was a cool moment that I had with my kid. Because sometimes you get a lot of complaining and
this
stuff
is
off
one
your
of
chest.
The, well, this is really just kind of like patting myself on the back, but it was.
That's what it's about.
It's one of those cool moments as a dad when you know you're in the right zone and you know you have a good family and you good strong bonds.
Yeah.
The good one, okay, when he went to a different school than the one they're at now when he was in second grade. And they would, in second grade now, was that about 7 years old, I'm guessing?
Yes, you're right.
They had a person as they walked on with a little checkboard, and apparently he was late for the second time getting onto the school grounds to get in line to go into the classroom. Wasn't late to get into the classroom. And he came home all upset because he was marked late and he was given a detention. 7 years old, marked late, given detention. And I said, well, that can't be right. And I went and I said, you got a detention for me? They said, yes, yes. Well, we take tardiness very serious, and this is the thing, and they have to be prepared, and we find that many kids, you know, they don't, you know, don't get their act together in the morning, and they blah, 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 and they dilly-dally. And I said, well, he didn't, you know. They said, no, he has detention. So I said, okay, and they do detention at 7 in the morning, from 7 to 8. So
he's got to come early?
So we had to come early. So this is what I did. I went there, and I walked him into the net. I said, this is – Cooper North, he's here for detention. I said, okay. Cooper, why don't you take a seat over there? Cooper, that's his name. So Cooper, take a seat over there. And he takes a seat. Thank you, Mr. North. And she goes back down. She goes to help some kid. And when she turns around, I'm sitting at the table with him on those little chairs and a bunch of other kids who had detention. The room's like a room full of kids.
Yeah.
And she walked over. She goes, Mr. North, what are you doing? I said, it's detention. And she said, but you can't be here. I said, well, no, I have to be. I said, we were late. And she goes, no, just the student is responsible for being late. I said, oh, no, I guess you don't understand. See, in our family, we teach that we're responsible for the actions. And he's 7 and he can't drive a car. So I'm responsible to get him here on time, and it was terrible traffic, and I made him late. So, you know, in our family, you know, you do the crime, you're going to do the crime, you're going to do the time, you know? She said, well, you can't be here. I'm like, well, I'm going to stay here. And it was a parochial school. She said, well, you know, sister or whatever is going to be very upset. I'm like, she said, she's going to want to talk to you. I said, I would love to talk to sister what's-her-face. And she walked out, and she came back in, and the woman just stood there, and they stared at me while we finished detention. They sent them all going, Mr. North, are you trying to be funny? I said, no. And I explained. I said, I'm not being funny. I'm just – your policy – and I probably shouldn't have said this to a nun. I said, your policy is horseshit. I said,
no,
I appreciate –
that's fair.
She said, I appreciate – Mr. North, I appreciate you watch your language. I said, you know what? I don't think I have to watch anything right now. This is ridiculous. I said, the boy, he was late because he was bringing cupcakes for his friend's school. She said, well, most kids dilly-dally. And she gave me the same excuse. I said, no, he's up. He's ready to go. We were in a lot of traffic. We're trying to get down, you know, this street to get to the school. It was outrageous. And I said, you know, he's not going to do that. I said, we do our best to get here on time. He was in time for the first bell, I guess they call it. He was here at 7. He was late for the 7:50 bell. They have to be in their seats by 8.
He was in class.
In class at the 8 o'clock bell. But they still did that. And they said, well, that's our policy, blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay. About a week later. Oh, no, it was a week later. They marked him absent and gave him another detention. And it was his birthday. And he was bringing in cupcakes for his class, and that's what my wife got him there a little late because, you know, they had to get his books and everything, get the cupcakes. And literally the woman was standing there watching them, and she marked them, and she said, as we crossed the line, we were about, you know, 20 yards from to get in the 7:50 bell line. And the kids are not, they scramble around. They're 7 years old.
Wow.
They marked him late.
Wow.
And we yanked him out of the school.
Good.
And we pulled him out of the school. We went to another school, told them what happened. They said, that's ridiculous. And we pulled him out of the school and got money back. But
yeah, that's the thing that must be weird with a private school is that how is that your customer service when I'm paying you? Like that's, you know, I could get that from the government.
No, but it was just, it just was so.
So stupid.
So bad.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a Roman Catholic school and we're not Roman Catholic. And so, you know, when it came time for the first communion, right, which they do about second grade, I guess, you know, if he ever went to mass, they'd make him cross his chest, his hand. So it's like, rather, because he can't take the bread, you know, but if you're Episcopal Catholic and you go to, and you're Roman Catholic, you go to Episcopal service, you can, hey, here's some bread, have some wine, you know, Jesus loves you, go ahead, you know, whatever. But if you're Roman Catholic, you can't touch that stuff. They give you a blessing and say, yeah, no bread for you.
Yeah.
It's like the soup Nazi, no soup for you. Jesus
no blessing for
you. Guess what? Jesus made this soup. And all you get is you can smell it, but you can't taste it. It's like, why?
It's like a carrot on a stick.
And I said, well,
for you, you know, 7-year-olds?
I said, yeah, he doesn't do First Holy Communion. But, you know, I said, I went to a parochial school growing up, and, you know, we learned about Judaism and Hindu and Islam. And, you know, it was like history of religion.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, so, yeah, I said, well, we have the First Communion classes. What's he supposed to do? I said, well, teach him what it's about, but he just doesn't have to go through the ceremony. And they said, no, we can't do that. We'll just put him in the corner and he can read quietly.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why would you ostracize a kid? Now seventh graders are like, what's wrong with that kid? Why is he?
Yeah.
And they
because they have the emotional awareness to be sensitive to him being stuck.
And it's like, it was just the most ridiculous thing we ever went through. But I had second grade detention.
That's awesome.
In my 30s. I guess I was in my 30s.
That's incredible. You should be proud of yourself. For
I was proud.
You should be.
A
you
proud
should be.
Father.
I know we got to wrap it up, but I'll tell you, this is how I know you should be proud is because I had a similar situation is that when I was in kindergarten, the teacher had this thing where every time you did something you were supposed to do, you'd get a little sticker. And every so many stickers, you get to paint something on the easel. And so I loved painting houses. Like, that's what I would do.
Yeah.
And my dad, just like what you were kind of describing, was very big on you earn something. If you earn it, it's yours, and nobody could take it away from you. That was his, like, mission statement for my childhood, was that he made me, when I was 5 years old, get a job so I could pay for a stuffed animal. And I know that he probably paid the neighbor to let me rake leaves, but he liked that idea that I was trying to figure out a way to get
the
money.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Same upbringing.
So the teacher came and said, you need to draw something besides a house this time. And I said, but I earned this and I'm only five. I said, I earned this. I want to draw a house. And she goes, cause I knew I was good at it. She goes, no, this is about being creative. So you need to draw something other than a house. So I sat there and I stared at this blank piece of paper for what seemed like forever. And then I said, I know, I'll make the craziest house I could possibly think of. So I put the grass on the roof and the roof where the grass would go. I put the chimney on the wrong side. I put the door upside down. Now, when you're an adult and you look at it, you just see a green roof, dirt in front of the house. You don't notice the doorknob. You don't notice that the chimney's on the other side. You notice none of this. And so she saw me. I was almost done. And she took that Mark's Lot big marker they'd carry in their fucking apron. And she wrote D on it and tore it off of the easel and said, you need to paint something other than a house now. So I got livid. And so I
painted. How old were you?
I was five. Five, almost six. And so I painted a gun, and I drew a stick figure with an apron on it. And there were two things we weren't allowed to paint, was blood and guns. And I grabbed those big plastic bottles they'd have of the paint. I grabbed the red one, and I squirted it on my hand. I smeared red paint all over the easel. And she came and saw me doing this, smearing blood, saw the apron and everything, and just flipped the fuck out, called my dad. And I had to meet with the principal, the school counselor. Everybody was there because we found a serial killer, everybody.
I want to paint a house!
And so my father came in, and God bless him. This is why I love him dearly. He's made mistakes with me and has flaws because he's a person. But because of these kinds of moments, I will love this man for the rest of my life, because he sat there and saw that this bloodied picture that I created, everybody's freaking out and looking at him like, your kid is wrong. And he goes, well, he earned that, right? And they were like, well, yeah, but you see, he painted something violent. He goes, he painted something violent because you took something away from him that he earned. in our house, when you earn something that is yours, if he earns something, no matter how young he is, if he pays for it with his money, I can't tell him what to do with it when he can and can't play with it, because that's how we do things at my house, because it's important that you earn, you work for something. He worked for that, and you took it away from him. You shouldn't have a say. If you want him to be creative, you should make it an assignment, not a reward. And so they said, they were like, well, and he goes, I'm sorry, I'm not backing down. He goes, this isn't going to happen. They wanted me to go through like 2 weeks of counseling.
Did they show him the picture of the upside down house first?
No, I think she even tossed that. All I remember, because I remember I asked him, he says he doesn't have, because I thought they gave him, like he wanted to take the picture with him or something. Like that's what I wanted, because I wanted to put it on my wall now. Like, you know, like now that I'm awesome. A dad and I have kids, you know, and like, go, that's what I see about how fucking crazy, you know.
What's so funny, it's like, Justin didn't get the promotion that he earned, so he killed everyone in the office. Because that's what my father taught me. I earned that promotion. You have to die.
The best Twilight Zone ever. It's like a noble story in the beginning. Yes. And then he shot up a post office at 36. But when he was five, his father stood up for him.
He could have been an architect. But instead, he murdered everyone.
He killed everyone because he didn't get the bid that he wanted. Which also I now have learned is that that's another part of it is – my dad told me, he goes, if you had your mind set on something, he goes, there was no convincing you otherwise. Because my son is like that, too. And he saw me kind of wrestling with my kid, trying to rationalize with him. And he goes, man, he told my wife, he goes, that's deja vu all over again for me. He goes, I've literally had that conversation verbatim with Justin when he was a kid. And so I think there was a little bit of that, which I told my dad. I go, you know, it's great when he's like 36 and he's like, I got Eye of the Tiger, Eye on the Prize, gonna get it. But when he's four,
it's OCD.
It fucking sucks.
It's like, and it's OCD. Yeah, yeah. I want it.
Chocolate milk. That's my 2-year-old.
Yeah. It's like, oh God, if they had Prozac in the 70s and 80s, it would have been a whole different story. We'd be like, hey man, this is like such a great podcast. It's so good to be here. It's like gentle. Yeah, I remember my father and I chased butterflies and it was all good.
Yeah.
But it's like the parents would let their kids smoke pot. We had neighbors whose parents, they would smoke pot together.
Wow.
They'd all get stoned. And we were like, and my brother and I weren't into that. But because back in those days, it was like, oh, a bunch of hippies.
Yeah.
And now they're progressives.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what the fuck has happened in my lifetime?
If you let your kid take a sip out of your beer, you're an asshole still. Like, you know, like, that's what I feel like. I get a lot of looks of that shit. Because my mom is Portuguese. She drinks wine. So we do the pacifier thing. We all think it's cute and funny. And it's like, get the fuck out of here. Worry about your kids. I'll worry about mine. Everybody's going to be fine.
I mean, it was a woman I remember just a couple of years ago had gotten Jack Daniels on an airplane. And you know, put it on the gums because the baby was teething.
Yeah,
and people turned her in and flipped out. She's like, I'm not, and people have been doing that for years.
Yeah, my grandfather used to give my dad when they had a fever, he would give them Jack Daniels in milk. And he goes, my dad said that Jack Daniels would curdle the milk and he would make him swallow it, like chug it, and then put them in their winter clothes in a sleeping bag in their bed. And that's how they broke a fever when he was a kid. Yeah. He goes, oh, I'm not fucking dead. I have no idea.
Yeah, but you know, he would that's a better remedy without the milk. It's like, give the kid a shot. If he can actually get it down, that's great.
I think
he'll sleep for
my grandpa
ever.
Probably thought it was a liquid gel. I think that's what he was really trying. He invented the Jaeger bomb, maybe.
No. Remember that? It's called I was a bartender for years. It's one of the worst shots I've ever had. It's a cement mixer.
I've never heard of it. No.
It was Bailey's. Girls, and then they put a little lime juice on the top. Huh. And what you do is you put it in your mouth and you have to put it and gargle and like shake it. And it curdles in your mouth like jello.
Oh, God.
And then you have to swallow it. It's the only time it's closest I've ever come to, like, in a bar, sober. Somebody said, do one of these. I'm like, what? And they said, no, shake. And it just foamed up. It was like cottage cheese consistency. And I almost gagged it right back on the bar.
I fought that down.
It's like, disgusting. It's one of those things where you literally have to focus on.
I'm going to remember that, though, when my kids want to try booze. I'm going to go, well, here's what booze is.
It's called cement mixer. Do this, and then... it's all over the place.
Well, I got to get you out of here, because I do not want to make you late, but this has been an absolute joy. Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Maybe when you have another free time in a couple years, we'll do it again, if you like.
I'll be back in a couple of years when I have more. You know, let me get them both into puberty, and I'll have some stories for you.
Then we'll go sick.
Then we'll go sick. It's like... Yeah, so we
My son and I were tag teaming these twins from his junior, after your junior prom. And, you know, the missus was been drinking the last couple of years.
So we had a phone.
Since your last podcast. We're still together, but what happened to the school? It burned to the ground.
That's another story for another podcast.
I never found the bodies, but we put in the stripper pole in the living room. And, my God, what happened to you? I don't work no more.
The youngest one, fucking sister what's-her-face right now.
The youngest one went on a nun shop chopping spree. What the hell is wrong with the Norths? Changed the name. It's not the Norths anymore.
We've gone south hardcore.
Yeah, we've gone hardcore. Yeah. No, well, thanks for having me, man. This is I enjoy your podcast. And I get to hear them, and it's nice. We have so many. It's fun when you get – you should do a group podcast of dads.
That'd be awesome.
Let's do a group of four or five guys just spitting stories back and forth. That'd be great. Funny.
I will definitely set that up. That's a great idea.
Just a thought.
Yeah, no, I could definitely throw some microphones in here and make it happen. So, anyway, I got to get you out of here. So on behalf of my good friend Nolan North, this is Justin Worship saying stay frosty.